All right, welcome back. Second half hour of a three-half-hour show tonight, a 90-minute special as we kick off Season 8 of Who's Talking. Hobo alongside Frank Maloney. We appreciate David Sloan joining us in the first half hour. And since I blew it at the bottom of the half hour, let me say properly that we're about to be joined by Dr. Jody Smith of Ortho Virginia and Chris Horn, our friend from the Sabre, the recruiting guru, will be joining us during this half hour. And then in our final half hour tonight, we'll have UVA legend Frank Quayle joining us, which has kind of become a first show tradition. For several years now, we've had Frank on our first show to sort of assess the football season as we begin it. But at any rate, we'll have Jody on here momentarily, Frank.
Well, let's brief everyone real quickly. These are the injuries that we are aware of, particularly to key players. Number one, wide receiver Andre Lavrone, a player with a lot of talent who and good size, who was pretty much expected to fill the void left when Kanaan Severin graduated. We believe he has a lower leg injury. We're not sure if it's a knee or an ankle. Also, we know that Olamide Zaccheaus, whose nickname is Oz, who plays wide receiver, slot back, he also sells popcorn at halftime. He's had a hamstring injury really since the first day of practice. We believe that he's finally coming around. Also, Donnie Dowling, the wide receiver, has been recovering since last year from the ACL surgery. We know that offensive guard Sean Carl is not listed on the 2-deep. We're not sure what's going on there. Just a week or two ago, he was listed as fighting for a starting job. And right now the guards are Jake Filer, Steve Moss, Jack McDonald, and RJ Proctor. So somehow Carl has drifted out of the 2-deep.
So we're not sure it's an injury. He's not on the 2-deep.
He's not on the 2-deep. But let's see here. We do know that Tetlow, who was from Mills Godwin, and Olin Rawaju have both retired from football due to chronic injuries. And we're sorry to see that. We thought Tetlow might finally get some play time this year, maybe as a backup guard or as backup center. And we wish both of them best of luck. We know they're still at UVA and they're getting their degrees, and we wish them well. Interestingly enough, Cohen, the transfer from Carolina, never did enroll at UVA this summer, and it was believed at one time that he would contend for a starting job at guard. And he had a lot of experience down at Carolina. He started almost an entire year 2 years ago, but he never enrolled. So he's a mystery.
And the sad news is, as we've said, the offensive line was not a situation where there was a lot of depth to begin with, so these guys not being available certainly may be a factor as the season unfolds.
But, all right. That's the absolute truth there. One thing's for certain, the Virginia offensive line cannot sustain injuries. They're thin already. I noticed that at tackle on the 2-deep, Michael Mooney is listed as the backup to English on left tackle, and he's the backup to Eric Smith at right tackle. So they need to find another tackle somewhere.
Well, and part of this, the Broncos system is fast-paced, so not only do you want depth to cover injuries, you want depth because these guys are going to get tired periodically, running up and down the field, particularly on a day like Saturday where it's 85 degrees and possibly a little humid.
Absolutely.
So, waiting, hoping to hear from Jody Smith, and as we said, Chris Horn will be calling in shortly as well to break down some of the recruiting news. It'll be interesting to see what Chris has, particularly from a football standpoint, as to what kind of reception Bronco is getting around the state and elsewhere as he goes out and tries to sell the University of Virginia to some prospects and build that roster and build the depth that he needs and may even have an opportunity to
All right. Without further ado, we've got Chris Horn jumping in. Obviously, Dr. Smith got tied up. Maybe he's
operating.
He's operating, which is a good way to be if you're a orthopedic surgeon. All right. Chris, thank you for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. How are we all?
Good, good. We need to remind folks, Chris Horn has been a longtime contributor to Who's Talking. He's covered the recruiting front for both UVA and Virginia Tech for at least 8 years.
Yeah, more than that.
Nine?
About 14 years.
14 years.
Yeah.
God, you were still in diapers when you started.
Hey, time flies when you're having fun.
But now you've got some new duties. Tell us and our audience a little bit about what you're doing.
Yeah, just kind of moving more full-time to the Sabres so I can devote some more time to covering UVA sports in addition to the recruiting front. So I'll still be handling football and basketball recruiting, which is fun, but certainly it's a nice challenge to get to tackle the other part of it, like the main sports part of it as well.
Chris, let's knock out some recruiting things right off the bat, and then we'll talk about the team in general. What are the highlights of the 18 young men that are currently verbally committed to UVA? And also, remind us, what is National Signing Day this year?
National Signing Day is the first Wednesday in February every year.
So okay.
I forget exactly which specific date that is. But first Wednesday in February. So we got a while to go. And there are a couple of kids who do want to enroll early, topped by a name that most Virginia fans will be familiar with, Jermaine Crowell. He's the son of Jermaine Crowell, who is a star wide receiver at UVA. He has committed and plans to enroll mid-year, so he'll be there in January. He's already signed the necessary paperwork, and he's unlike his dad, though, he's coming in as a defensive back. But he's one of the better players in the class. Definitely super excited to get there. He's got a good frame, 6'3", and can play, coming in to play corner, but could also play some safety as well if need be. So he's kind of like, if I had to pick the kind of headliner of the class, he would be it. But, UVA has done a pretty good job down the road also at Woodbury Forest, a school that they haven't had a ton of success recruiting in the past, but a school that they've been able to get commitments from three players in this class, quarterback Lindell Stone, who's a 6'1", accurate, kind of more of a pocket pro-style guy, accurate passer, good-looking prospect. Terrell Janna, who's a defensive back slash receiver, kind of one of those athlete type of guys, a good athlete who they like as a possible corner, but they've also mentioned receiver. And John Kervin, whose brother Cade was a walk-on on the UVA basketball team, is committed as a defensive end. So,
Kervin had an interesting relationship with the staff that preceded Mendenhall's staff, and
right.
he was the first commit for this class. Then he decommitted at one point, and now he's back on board. And I think he started out as a tight end, and now he's a defensive end.
Yeah, that's exactly how it worked out. He was offered as a tight end by Mike London when London was obviously still the coach. Committed early. I think UVA has basically been his dream school. But when Coach Mendenhall got there, he was pretty upfront and honest, saying that I don't think they really recruit a ton of tight ends. So if they wanted to offer him, which they would need to see him again at camp, see him up close, if they were going to offer him, it would be at a different position. So he decided to open things up, decommitted, got some pretty nice offers. I think NC State was in there, Illinois. So he got some pretty solid offers on the table, but went back and camped at UVA and showed what he needed to show as a possible defensive end and went ahead and recommitted. So interesting story, but certainly tells you a lot about that he definitely wants to be at UVA.
Chris Horn. We're visiting with Chris Horn, the Sabre recruiting guy, and now the Sabre dealing with X's and O's and everything else here soon. If you have any questions about basketball, you know who to call, by the way. But at any rate, I'm looking at the list here, but the one thing it occurs to me, when Bronco had his introductory call, he talked about needing offense and defensive line. How's he doing on a recruiting standpoint from that perspective?
Well, certainly with the attrition this offseason on the offensive line, that kind of Jared Cohen, transfer from UNC, was expected to be a guy that they were going to have for several years as an offensive guard. And then Eric Tetlow and Sadiq Alandru, guys who were injured, so it's tough to expect them to expect too much out of them, but still the fact that they gave up football, that lost some more depth there. So it went from a definite need where you're going to take like five or six guys in the class to a situation where it's even more of a need. But, you know, at the same token, you don't want to take too many guys in one class. So far they have three offensive line commits, some good-looking players. Bryson Spies, who's a tackle out of Dudley High School in Greensboro, North Carolina, which is a pretty good football program in its own right. Chris Glazer, Jr. out of Ohio, Salone High School, which UVA was able to recruit successfully with Steve Greer as a linebacker. So obviously they're hoping for a repeat production there. And then Tyler Fannin, who is a USA Today All-American interior lineman, kind of more of a center-type guy. So three commitments, but definitely that's one of the spots that they need to continue to address with the rest of the players. And then same thing on the defensive front. You know, you're looking for I think they'd like to get another nose tackle and another defensive end type if they can. So definitely both sides of the line, they've done some pretty good things so far, but definitely still work to be done, I think, before signing day.
All right, Hobbo missed his cue. The question I wanted to pose to you is Joey Blunt, the son of former UVA star safety Tony Blunt, who may be best known for his Superman flying tackle where he hit Jesse Williams, the tailback from Richmond, and just literally changed the entire game way back, I want to say 1977 maybe. But what do you know about Joey Blunt?
Yeah, he's a guy that, and it's interesting with him and Crowell, you know, two guys who had those UVA ties, which it seems like in the past, for whatever reason, UVA's kind of had somewhat of a difficult time getting those guys, but kind of right off the bat, maybe that's a good sign for future things. But Joey is he's a safety prospect, kind of just like his dad, and he got some pretty good publicity this offseason. Just, you know, I don't get too much into 7-on-7 competitions, but he was a guy who, you know, showed some savvy and did some good things, and people noticed him this offseason. But he's a guy who's got good size, you know, 6'2", and he's just a real kind of savvy type of player, knows where to be. So good looking player, and you know, UVA was kind of his dream offer. So he's certainly pretty excited, and that's pretty cool. He gets to go play the same position his dad played, as you mentioned, in the late 70s. So. Yeah, definitely pretty good also, and it's always good, I think, to get those legacy recruits if you can.
Chris, give us your overall take on the team as they're gearing up to play Richmond this Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Just, you've been around camp a lot. You've been around Charlottesville a lot. You've heard more than you probably wanted to about any one football program. What have you heard?
Well, they've all bought in. To what Coach Mendenhall wants to do. And I think the character of this team, I think even with Coach London last year, I think it was there. They had the will to win. They wanted to win. This year, I think they're kind of learning what it takes to do things the right way and to do things, obviously, the Bronco Mendenhall way, the way he wants to do it. And they still have that desire to win. So they've bought in. As you can see this offseason, I think they all look like they're in great shape. You know, certainly, if they have some injuries on the offensive line, things are going to be kind of difficult. But I think certainly they have the want to win. They have the right leadership in place from a guy like Micah Kaiser, Dante Wilkins, you know, all these guys, Jackson Mateo on offense. So the desire and the leadership is there. And I think, but at the same token, you know, you're not ever sure what to expect that the first year, I think, somebody takes over. But yeah, Mendenhall knows what he's looking for, and you know, I think he puts guys in the right position. Obviously, he's been so successful at BYU. Not predicting a 10-win season by any stretch, but I think it's a team that, especially if they can get some confidence early on, that maybe could surprise some people, and who knows, maybe win seven games or so and make it to a bowl game.
Chris,
looking forward to seeing what this team's going to do.
If you've been at practice, what's your assessment of Benkert, the quarterback?
When I first saw him, it was evident that he's got a guy that has the tools. I mean, he's 6'3", physical kid, can run, can break out of the pocket, and he told me he's not even 100% necessarily back from that knee injury that sidelined him at ECU last year. But he's got the strong arm, and you know, didn't get to see him a whole lot, but the passes I saw, he was an accurate thrower deep, and so he's got a lot of tools. He's got the confidence. He's what they're looking for, and he's also got 2 years left, which I think is important. So if you know, obviously, if he can stay healthy first and foremost, then I think, you know, he could be a guy to you know, maybe could break out this year and then still have his senior year left to go. So definitely a guy with all the tools and anxious to see what he's going to be able to do in a game setting.
Chris, 30 seconds here. Give us a little preview of the game. What do you think is going to happen on Saturday, and what's the outcome in your opinion?
Well, I mean, obviously I think the Hoos are fired up. I expect them to, you know, a good Richmond team in their own right. They had a lot of success last year making it to the semifinals, and, you know, so they're an experienced team, especially, you know, on defense, the front seven, and they've got some offense. But I think UVA's focused and ready to go, and they're excited to play under Coach Mendenhall. So, yeah, I see Virginia coming out focused, and I don't think they'll have any trouble this weekend. But you know, I think it's what's interesting is they've worked so hard on the small things this offseason, so it's going to be interesting to see how that offense looks. You know, once you know, they've been able to gear up for it, and then of course the defense under Coach Mendenhall, that's his bread and butter certainly. So, but I expect the UVA to come out fired up and
score.
I think everybody's anxious to see what the whole game day atmosphere is going to look like.
Give us a score. Come on.
I'll go 35 to 10.
Okay. All right, with that, we're going to have to cut you loose. We've got none other than Jody Smith waiting in the wings after the break. Thank you for joining us tonight, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. All right, we're going to go to break. On the other side, we've got Dr. Jody Smith. Stay with us. Who's talking?